Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministries.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Surely we want the fresh fire of the Holy Ghost to fall on us so that we can be consumed and there will be nothing left but God. And so we thank God for just this opportunity. This is the Prospering Souls broadcast, and we are coming to you today, and we are just so happy to be on the broadcast today. We thank God for another opportunity to throw out a seed of the word, and we pray that it will fall on good ground, and those that hear it will be blessed, and those that receive the word on good ground will be able to see the fruit of the word begin to spring up in them. We know that Paul planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. So we hope today that we are either planting or watering in your life, and we're believing that God is going to give the increase for the word that will go out today. So we're just so thankful for that. We thank you for all of those that will be calling in, those that will be logging in, and even those that will listen to the broadcast later. And we're so grateful just to be a part of this ministry and all that God is doing. And we're in our third year doing this, and we're just so grateful for us continuing on with the vision that God gave us and the task that he has given us. To God be the glory. We're going to open up with prayer, and then we will get right to our lesson. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you today. I thank you for your mercy, and I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your word on today, Lord. We thank you, and it came to pass, Lord. That was the word, the title of the day, Lord. And we thank you for it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this is just this opportunity to be used as a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for your use. And for those that will be on the line that always help, and those that always come on, and Lord, we all just bring the word. We thankful for each and every one of them. I pray special, Lord, for Elder and Sister Dockin and their family today, Lord. I pray special for Elder Timberlake and her family. Bless her brother, Lord, that they have given up. But, Lord, we know that you are a doctor that has never lost a case. We know that, Lord, that your will be done, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask you to bless Elder Russell today, Lord, and bless her family. Lord, you know the things that she has been doing, having to do with her family, Lord, so you just ask you to bless her. Bless Anthony Poston, oh God, Elder Poston, and Minister Henry, and Elder Denise Montgomery. I'm just naming the ones that have been a blessing to this ministry. Elder Tiffany Willis, Lord, we thank you for each and every one of them, Lord, that has taken the time to minister on this broadcast, and I pray that I didn't forget anybody, but Lord, we thank you for each and every one of them that has taken the time to study and bring the word of God and be a blessing to us with the word of God. So, Lord, we just so grateful. Lord, I ask you, Lord Jesus, to bless us today, Lord Jesus, that your word will penetrate. It said it's sharper than any two-edged sword. So, Lord, we thank you. Lord, help us today. Let your anointing flow through us today, that your word will be anointed and that it will do all that it is sent out to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Elder Dotson, thank you for being on the line. You and Sister Dotson, I'm just so excited about the word today because we are in our series, our relationship building series is what it is. We're building our relationship with God and reviving it and blessing the Lord to restore it, revive it, and so that we can be all that he has purposed for us to be in our life. And so we finished our renewal series, and now we're starting a series on watching what you say or the power of your words. And we talked on the first lesson, I'll do a quick recap, about out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so we talked about that on our first number one lesson on this series, and talking about that. And it says if the eyes are the window of the soul, is your mouth the window of your body? And so we talked a little bit about that, and whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. And we talked about what is in our heart is what comes out. And so we have to be careful what our heart looks like and make sure that our heart looks like what God wants it to look like or looks like what God will have us do. And that's why we should pray, Lord, let my, when David said, he said, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. So then his heart, out of his heart, would come what God would want him to say and not what we want to say in our natural man. So today we're going to talk about, we was going just a little bit deeper, and we're still talking about this before we really get into that little member with the great fire, the tongue. It's coming in some lessons down the road. But we're going to talk about the strength, the power of the word is our lesson today. And I got it down here in my notes about just some definitions, and I'll just do a couple of them. Rhema, that's one of the words, is Greek, and it means the utterance and a thing said, and said that it is a word that signifies the action of utterance. In philosophy, it was used in both Plato and Aristotle, and it refers to the proposition or sentences. And then the Bible definition says a word is the book sacred to Christians, which they consider to be the inspired word of God. And the Bible includes the Old Testament, which contains the sacred books of the Jews, and the New Testament, which begins with the birth of Jesus. And the Bible, we always refer to it as the book and the word of God. And then if you look at the secular, I mean just the regular definitions, the word, it says a sound or a combination of sound, something said, an utterance, remark, of comment. And then it says, another one says, an assurance of promise, sovereign intention, a command or a direction or order, a verbal signal. And so it says the word, word logos, the scriptures in the Bible, exclamation, informal, used to express agreement. So, you know, we have all of this stuff that a word is. And so when we speak the word, that's why it's very important that we watch what we say. We be mindful of what we say. And I know somebody says, well, how can I watch what I say? Well, because you're thinking about what you say. You got to think before you talk. I remember when I was in first grade, and my teacher taught us a song, and I've never forgot this song. And the song said, "If you can't," I'm just gonna talk. "If you can't say something nice, then say nothing." That's what she taught us. And I thought about that. That came up in my spirit today, that song did, because what she was saying was, first of all, what she was meaning, if we can't say something nice about our neighbor, then don't say nothing. But when I thought about it from a spiritual aspect, I thought, if we're not going to speak the right thing out of our mouth, then just be quiet. Just study to be quiet and say nothing, because sometimes when we speak the wrong thing out of our mouth, we got to be careful of that, because our words do have power. And so we got to think about that. Because if we think about the word of God, says, I wrote here, I said, the power of words is how the world began. God spoke, and what he said manifested in the natural realm. And so when we think about that, we think about how many times in Genesis, if we look at the first chapter of Genesis, and God began to speak, and he said in Genesis 1 and 3, he said, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. He spoke it, and it happened. Genesis 1 and 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. He spoke it, and it happened. And then Genesis 1 and 9, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto the place, and let the dry land appear. And the reason why I'm reading all these verses is because I want us to understand how powerful what comes out of our mouth is. And since we were created in his image, and one, I'm going to go to 1 and 26, and then I'll go back to where I was. It says in Genesis 1 and 26, it says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God said, he made us in his image, in his likeness. So, and then because we are the only speaking creation, all the other animals have sound, but they can't develop words. So we got to think about that. God created us in a special place like him. The dog can bark, but we don't know what the dog is really saying when he barks. The cat can meow and all the other sounds that the animal, the cow mooing, all them sounds that they make it. And we might can kind of see what the dog's talking about when he's barking or if he's barking at somebody, but, you know, there are no words there. So we are the only speaking creation that God made because he made us in his likeness, in his image. So therefore, and that's why he told me, he said, I'm giving you power, dominion over all of this stuff. So he gave him power. And so if he gave him power over all the stuff, he also gave his words power. Because then if we look at 1 and 29, where it says, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which the fruit of the tree is yielding, and it is for you to meet. But then in Genesis 2 and 7, he said, he formed man out of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils a living soul. But not only that, he told man to be fruitful and multiply in those beginning scriptures. And I remember being taught years ago about that because this is before the fall in the garden where he actually told the woman that she would have trouble and bear children with labor and things like that. So then I have to imagine in my mind that before that happened, when he told them to be fruitful and multiply, what were they going to do? Speak the children into existence? Their words had power. And so that's something we need to think about. But I'm going back to Genesis in my flow of the thinking. In Genesis 1 and 11, he said, and God said, and then 1 and 14, it says, and God said, Genesis 1 and 20, it says, and God said, and every time God said, it came to pass. Every time he said it, it came to pass. That is how powerful the word is. When God speaks, it's done. It's not something that may happen. It's not something that might not, you know, it is going to be done. And so that's how we have to rethink about it before we start speaking, because our words have power, and we have to understand that. And so when we understand that, if we really understand that like we should, we'll begin to think differently before we open up our mouth to say anything. Because we want the words to come out of our mouth to speak life and not death. We have any comments about any of that?
Amen.
Amen. And so when I started thinking about it, I just got so excited. And we're going to go to some other scriptures as we go along, but I want to keep talking about how powerful our words was. And I was looking for Proverbs. Let me see. I know I got it here someplace. If not, I'll look it up real quick. Proverbs, I think it's 18, where it talks about death and life is in the power of the tongue. I think it's Proverbs 18. And I know I got that on this paper somewhere. 18 and 21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So if God is telling us that death and life is in the power of our tongue, we really got to begin to watch what we say. We got to be mindful of what we're speaking out of our mouth, because it has either death or life attached to it. He didn't say it was no in between. Ain't no gray area. It's either black or white. It's death or life. No gray area. So we have to be thinking about that when we begin to speak. That's why we have to learn the word of God. Learn who first learned God so we'll know. Because one thing about speaking, we can't speak. He's not going to bring it to pass outside of his will. So therefore, we got to understand whatever we're going to speak needs to be in the will of God. Needs to be. So we have to get to know God, get to know the heart of God, so that we can begin to take on the mind of Christ. Like I said on the last lesson, we talked about out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So begin to talk from that perspective, because then when we pray, when it says ask and it shall be given you, we are praying in the will of God. Therefore, we can receive what we have asked for. But he ain't gonna. If you ask God, say, Lord, I want you to make so and so trip because they done got on my nerves all this morning. Just let them fall, Jesus. He ain't gonna answer that. I don't care how much faith you got for it. He ain't gonna answer that because that is not in his will. Anybody got anything they want to say about anything else I've said so far?
And we do sometimes want to say things like that. I was bringing it up in a minister's meeting. You know how David and them used to say, dash their children up against the wall, Lord. And I was just cringing. I was like, Lord, well, he can't pray that prayer. He can't pray that because you're not going to do that. But then our pastor said that God won't do it, but he understands who David was, and he allowed David to vent. So I thank God for being a God that will allow you to vent, but he is not going to answer nothing that's against his will.
He is not. And he does. Isn't his mercy wonderful that he allows us to vent? Yeah, he's merciful enough. He allows that.
He'll get with us about it eventually. You know, you got to get your heart right. Yeah.
We got to get our heart. Come on, fellas. Come on, Sister Dotson. We're going to get our heart right about it. He might let us come, go ahead, throw off that steam. But we better get ourselves back in alignment with his word before too long. Don't harbor that, those kind of feelings, because that's what turns into bitterness and frustration and anger and those kind of things. So we can't harbor those thoughts, harbor those words, but we have to, you know, sometimes it's just that's just the way it is today. And so that's why I think Paul, when he said, I die daily, he said, because this is something we got to cast off every day. We got to really stay before the word of God and stay in the will of God in order to really stay focused on what God will have us to do and not what we will want to do on our own accord. So that's why it's so important for us to daily, we got to renew our mind, we got to stay in the word of God, and then we got to speak those things that are the word of God. That's why when sometimes you might get a bad report at the doctor, sometimes you can't say, well, you know, I got so-and-so. You can't say I got. You better say the doctor said. Now, this is what the doctor said, but the word of God says this. Because if you start speaking what the doctor said, and you're claiming it, you don't want to do that. If somebody's asking you, well, what is going on? You say, well, the doctor said so-and-so and so-and-so. But, you know, I believe what God said, and by his stripes, I'm healed. And so that's how you have to put those types of things. You're going to be asked those questions. And so, but it's all in how you begin to quote it out of your mouth. We got to be careful and mindful of those things and not to be going around saying, you know, just because your mother had this or because your father had this, well, I got this too. No, not necessarily. That's not what it is. If you're a child of God, then you want to speak what God says about your life. Not what somebody says you're going to have because of hereditary situations and those kind of things like that. Make sure that you focus on what God says about it and not what what man says about it. Because whose report, what they say in Isaiah, whose report we going to believe? I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. Once again, words, the report of the Lord, words being spoken. So that was that. I want to talk about how powerful our words are and how we are created in his image, and we have to be mindful of that, what we say and what we do. And so those are some of the things he said. And then I think about my next part of topic, and I don't want, because I can go real fast. You know, I got to be talking real fast. But anyway, my next, did I get all my scriptures in there? Yeah. I said, God has spoken promises about our lives. They will happen if we believe, and we are the only speaking creation he made. Yeah, I put that in about the animals. Not, they got sound, but they don't have words. And so we got to understand who God made us. And if we look at this, what is it? I think it's Psalms. Is it the 8th Psalms? We talked about what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visited him. He said he made us a little lower than the angels. So he really thought about us when he created us. And he really, we are in his likeness and his image. So remember that. And think about what you're saying before you get ready to say it. Even, I don't care if you're angry or what, be better. If you got to put a muzzle on your mouth, whatever you got to do, do not say things that you do not want spoken over your life.
Amen.
And over yeah, your children. Uh-huh. Come
I
on, Timberlake.
You know, Proverbs 6 and 2 said that thou art snared with the words of thy mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. So that your words are powerful, as you said, but God can say this thing over your life many times. We can hinder God's will and purpose for our life because we say something out of our own mouth. We speak that life and death, as you said, over our own lives or over our seed's life because we are snared by the words out of our own mouth. So we have to be careful of what we say, as you said, because many times we say things, little simple things that we don't think about. We say little cliches. This gets on my nerves. We have to be careful. We have to mind the things out of what we say because our words are powerful. And their words, we say, oh, they're just a little nothing. But they're powerful because the Bible doesn't separate between, you know, God knows our heart. Yes, he does. But it doesn't separate between when we're just saying, oh, that just gets on my nerves or she makes me sick. Well, you
mm-hmm.
might just get. So we have to be careful. And besides the little scripture I love, we're not supposed to give any room to the enemy anyway. So some things we need to watch what we say and be careful. And if we say it, we need to quickly repent of it and remove it out of remove it out of the way because we don't want anything hindering whatever God is saying over our lives. Because many times we hinder our own blessings. Now we hinder the move of God, the next move of God for ourselves. We keep our own self out of position because of things that we say. Many times we miss opportunities on our jobs or in the churches because we say something that hinder us, and you blackballed forever if you're talking out of the will of God. Now, God gives you something to say, and he tells you to say it because you have to be expedient because all things lawful are not always expedient. So you got to know when to say it and how to say it. So we have to be careful even when we're correcting people so we won't kill them because it's how we say things because, once again, our words have power.
Yes. And that is so right. And so many times we've been saying stuff so long that we say it without thinking. That's why this is such a blessing for me. I say, oh, I don't know how I got to be the one to teach this, but it's a blessing for me because, oh, I be saying all kinds of stuff. And so this is helping me. I don't know who else is helping, but it is helping me. I done been over here excited all day long. I mean, all the time I've been studying, I've been excited about it because I said, Lord, thank you for helping me because we have to know when we are in error and that we need help. And sometimes we say stuff to be funny. I was trying to find that scripture where it talks about jesting. I think it's Ephesians 5 and 4, I believe. And I was going to read that because I think what Elder Timberlake said, it makes sense. It says, neither filthiness nor foolishness, foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. So even though sometimes we're being comical about things and maybe saying something funny, we got to be careful even with that. Because just because we said it just don't mean that we can say, well, I was just playing. No, we got to be careful. I mean, it's such a powerful lesson. These lessons coming are so powerful because we really got to get our tongue in check. And we got to understand that some of the reason why we're still going through some of the things we're going through is because we done said too much. So Elder Timberlake's right. Sometimes we are snared by the words of our confession. I mean, I've been excited about it. When you start studying something that you need help with, I'm telling you, it'll help you.
You know,
go ahead.
I just wanted to say also, I just know sometimes when we have children or when I was growing up, some of the older saints used to say, oh, that person, just like their daddy, oh, this person's not going to be anything. Or she'll never do this. because I had somebody mm-hmm. say that when I was a kid. She'll never finish high school. She'll never do this, blah, blah, blah. But I was so determined. I was like 12 years old when they said that. But it, as 12 years old, I purposed in my heart. I mean, it just like killed something inside of me. It broke my heart. But I purposed in my heart, not only am I going to finish high school, but I'm going to college. So I finished high school at 16 and then went on and finished college. Because if you're not careful, you will allow what other people say out of their mouths smell you. So you got to have the tenacity and your trust and your faith in God that whatever somebody else speak of your life, because people speak curses over you, but you got to resist that devil, resist that thing, because God, as you said before, has a purpose. He has a different agenda for your life. Then we got to know what that is, identify with it, or learn it, and walk in truth, and not what the enemy has to say, because that's a lie. We want to walk in the truth. God has said, and then we speak that out of our lives. You say, I can't make it, but I say I can, and I shall, because I'm going to move in the power and the might of the Almighty God. And that's the attitude we have to take along the way, and that's on the spiritual side, and it applies in our secular lives, because people have, they'll say it a minute, you're just like your mama. Well, your mama might have been in the street and might have done a whole lot of things. But you might have somebody that has spoken something positive in your life, or you got it with a good sister or a brother in the church or somebody that knew about God, and they've encouraged you, and you're going in a different direction. And the enemy will want to keep you in bondage. But if you keep speaking, I'm an overcomer. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. You keep saying the word of God that gives you power. I'm more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. You just keep saying things. You learn a scripture that keeps you. That word out of your mouth will give you strength, will give you the will and the tenacity to overcome any obstacle and any challenge that life may present or the enemy try to block your progress for.
Yes, that is true. Because, you know, when we was coming up, if you had a pain somewhere, they would say, oh, that sounds like so-and-so. I used to just rebuke them. You know, they was my elders, but I would rebuke them in my spirit and say, Lord, you can name Jesus. I don't receive that. I don't receive that. Because you have to say those kind of things. Otherwise, your people are speaking stuff over your life. They tell you you can't do something. You got to be able to say to yourself within yourself, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yes, I can do it. I can do it. And that comes with you knowing the word of God. I thank God for accepting him at a young age. I ain't saying I dotted every I crossed every T, because I've done a whole bunch of stuff between 6 and 50 and my age now, 50 and 56, the age of 6 to 56, a whole lot of stuff happened that probably wasn't pleasing to God. But what I do know is I knew God. I had the word of God. I had the word of God, and I had my heart set to serve him. But even though stuff happened in between there, I ain't going to say anything didn't happen, but they did. But I thank God for even at a young age and having the will or the passion just to keep moving forward and being saved. That's something right there. Because people, you get saved, and then next thing you know, people come talking about, child, remember what you used to do. Key word, being used to. So that's what you got to have. You know, I was sarcastic when I was coming. I said, well, that's a key word, used to. I don't do that no more. So you got to be ready, like Elder Tim said. You got to be ready with to combat what people are speaking over your life, because people will say all kind of things and things that hurt you, especially when you're young. And that's why it's so important not to speak stuff over your children's life, not to do that. We really have to be mindful not to do that, and really begin to speak something positive over their life. If you want your child to have a better life than you, then speak positive things over their life. Stop getting mad at the man, and then talking about, he's just like your dad. You ain't going to be this. You ain't going to, because you upset with the man. Don't have nothing to do with that baby. And that's something we got to be careful about, because we do not want their lives to be, that causes them to go through things that they might not have went through had you spoke something positive over their life. Then we want to say later on, oh, that my heart is broke. No, remember what you said. So now you got to try to pray and ask God to first forgive you for saying that, and then begin to speak those positive things over Christ's life. Because the Bible does say if you train up a child in the way they should go, when they're old, they will not depart from it. That's what the scripture says. So if you got them, if you're training them right at the beginning, speaking the right things over their life, they will not depart from it. They will come back to God. So we have to remember that and keep that word on in your mind, so that when things look different than what you thought, that you can keep that in your focus, that God said this. And then begin to say, and even to them, when you see them going off of the path, say, you know, the Lord said, I've trained you up in the ways you go. And the Lord said, when you're old, you're not going to depart from it. So I know you're coming back to Christ. You're going to come back to Christ. Sometimes you got to even be that radical about it. Anyway, the next part of the topic is the power that is the word. And so I came from that thought pattern because I want to read Hebrews 4:12 when it says, I'm going to go ahead and go down my list. And the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That right there is deep. It says the word of God is not simply a collection of words from God, but a vehicle for communicating ideals. It is living, life-changing, and dynamic as it works in us. But with the incisiveness of a surgeon's knife, we think about a surgeon that has a knife. God's word reveals who we are and what we are not. It penetrates to the core of our moral and spiritual life, and then it discerns what is within us, both good and evil. The demands of God's word requires decisions. We must not only listen to the word of God, but we must also let it shape our lives. You know, we got to remember those ifs and those buts when we read the word of God. Because if you think about when we're reading the word of God, sometimes, especially over, if you go over in Deuteronomy and some of those particular books, it talks, if you do this, or, you know, but. You know, it got an if and a but in there. So you got to remember those ifs and buts because a lot of those are commandments. Are things we have to follow in order to get this or get that. So we got to remember that because God is a God of order and priorities and things like that, and he's a God of principle. And so we got to remember that when we're speaking and when we're doing things. Then it says in Ephesians 6:17, it says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, when I thought about that, I said the sword is the only weapon of offense in the list of armor, and there are times when we need to take the offensive against Satan. When we are tempted, we need to trust God, trust in the truth of God's word. Now, who is a better example than that than Jesus? When he came out of Matthew, I think it's Matthew the 4th chapter, when it says that he had went into the wilderness, he had fasted 40 days and said, and he was hungry. And here comes Satan. If you make these stones bread and all the different things that he said, and what did God use? What did Jesus use? He used the word of God. Now, the word, living word, used the word to fight the enemy. That's what happened. And so if we're gonna make it, we got to be like the living word was and use the word to fight the enemy. We can't fight him on our own. Fight him with the word of God. Give him what the word has to say about it, because he said he knows the word. He fears and trembles. That's what the scripture said. So make him tremble. Use the word of God. Anybody have anything they want to say about that? So then in John 1:1, and this I was so excited about this, and not that I ain't heard this scripture before, I ain't read it before. We done sung it. We done everything. But it says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And I said, Jesus himself was the living word, speaking, and whatever he said happened. He spoke to the winds and the waves, and they obeyed. He spoke to the fig tree, and it obeyed. He spoke to death, and it obeyed. It flee. It flee. And so the living word, our Redeemer, when we give our lives back to him, the living word, our Savior, our Redeemer, we get our place back with God. So we fell in the garden with Adam, but then we was out of the garden. So when I went back, if I think back to that, I think about Adam being and Eve being able to speak to stuff, and it came to pass because when they weren't given that commandment to till the ground and all that until after the transgression. So that's what I thought. I mean, I think I've been, that's what we were taught earlier on, that's what was happening, so I'm imagining that's what was happening. But now we have the fact that our living word, which is Jesus, has redeemed us. back to God. And because of that, we have kind of got our, we've got our place back, and we're seated now in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. We're heirs and joint heirs, so we're back in place with God, and so we're back in place with God. We're back in his likeness and in his image, so we have got our speaking power back again. So we got to be careful how we use that power. Anybody have anything they want to say about that? So then the creator of the universe, the ultimate revelation of God, the living picture of God's holiness, the one by whom all things consist, Colossians 1 and 7. And, oh, wait a minute, I think I went too far down. I went someplace else. Hold on, go back. Okay. Anyway, you said, in Joe, so then in John 1 and 1, it says, what does John mean by the word? The word was the term used by theologists and philosophers, both Jews and Greeks. But in many different ways in Hebrew scripture, the word was an agent of creation. Now, we got to understand, Jesus was there to create. I know we don't think he was. But the word was there, so he was there. The spirit was moving over to, over the place. All of them was there. So we got to remember, go back and look what the scripture says. And so then the word was the principle of reason that governed the world, or the thought still in the mind, while in Hebrew thought, the word was another expression of God. Now, we really think about back in Genesis when God was speaking. God was speaking. The word, it says the spirit of God was moving across the face, on the earth. It was moving. And then it said he spoke the word, which was Jesus, and came into pass. And so when Jesus was here on earth, Jesus would speak the word or heal somebody, touch somebody, and it would come to pass. He said, greater works shall we do. We got to think about the power of what can come out of our mouth and what we can do with that power in the will of God. Does anybody have anything they want to comment about that?
Yes, I wanted to comment on what you had said earlier. The reason we have to watch is the words that you say have a creative nature.
Yes.
Just like your father Adam spoke names of animals, and it was so.
Yes.
Because God gave him authority to do it.
Yes.
The same authority that your daddy has is the same authority that you have. Your words create things.
Yes.
And your words hang in the atmosphere.
Ooh.
That's why watch what you say. The word of God is spoken and is of an atmospheric nature that it exists. It's life.
God said it won't return void.
His word won't return void, so it exists. It has life. You got to realize that the words that you say have life.
Yes.
Like Elder Bryson has said, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Well, if life and death are in the power of the tongue, the words that you say can bring life. What did Jesus say? You could speak to yonder's mountain to be moved into the sea, and it'll be done by your faith. Oh, my God, you must watch what you say. Amen?
Amen. Woo! I'm telling you, this is something going to be something. I'm just excited about it because I'm learning so much, and I'm excited about learning about it. This is exciting to me. I'm just excited about the whole thing. We have just what Doctor, our words have creative ability. That's what I was saying. We have got to watch it because we were made in his image and in his likeness. When God spoke, creation came about. We got to think about that. When you get ready to talk, you gotta think about that. But he's not gonna do it outside his will. Always remember that. Ooh, I got too excited. Let's see. I'm going to go on to this next topic because our time is winding down. Then on my next point I wanted to make was learning to speak God's language. And this is such a big topic. We're going to just touch on it a little bit, and then we'll keep going as we go along. God speaks to something, not about it. Now, that right there says a whole lot. How many times do we think we're speaking to it, but we're really just speaking about it? We talk about our situations, we talk about our problems, and then, but we're not speaking to it. Elder Dawson just said the scripture a few minutes ago. He said, and it says, let's go to Mark 11:23, and it said, verily I say unto you, that whosoever, this is Jesus talking, whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So your words together with faith have power, and what you say for your life for others has power. So that is what, that's why we have to watch what we say. But anyway, said, when we begin to speak two things, we have to continue to do it until we, till the problem is in response to the word of God. Now, we think about the widow with the unjust judge. She just kept going to him saying, avenge me of my adversary. And she kept coming to him so much that he just got sick of her, tired of her coming. And so he said, well, let's grant, he granted her what she asked for. Sometimes we pray for things. We get excited about the word of God, and we say, oh, I'm gonna speak to the mountain. I'm going to speak to the mountain. And then if the mountain don't move right then, we keep doing it for a little while, then we get weary. We say, well, I don't know, God, it didn't happen. So maybe we're going to start giving excuses for God. God don't need you to excuse him. He's God. You need to make excuses for God why something you said didn't happen. God, just like for her, it said, so then, okay, if an evil king can give her something, then how much more can your heavenly Father give to you who gives good gifts? So we have to understand that sometimes we just got to keep persevering. You got to keep speaking to it, to the word, to the thing responds to the word of God. The word of God is sharp and powerful than a two-edged sword. So if you keep speaking to that thing, then it will come to pass, because what Sister Dawson said just a few minutes ago, his word will not return unto him void. And I think it's over in Hebrews, the 6th chapter, he said he's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. He said that by two immutable things, he won't lie and he won't change. That's in the 6th chapter of Hebrews. We got to remember who we're dealing with. We're dealing with God, and when we are in his will with things, it will come to pass. And so we had to say, think about that. Stop speaking about the situation and speak to it. When he spoke, when he was in the ship and the storm was going on, he got up and spoke to the winds and the waves. It didn't say he spoke about them. He spoke to them, and they ceased. Start speaking to your problems with the word of God and not about your problem. Oh, I'm probably the chief offender right there. So that's why it's so exciting to me, because I said, Lord, help me. Help my unbelief. Help me to do better, because we sometimes just run the mouth and we get discouraged and we start speaking about the situation and not to the situation. Speak to it and not about it. Now, I'm not saying you're going to make that change overnight, but be mindful of it so you can begin to make those changes in your thought pattern and in your speaking. Anybody have anything they want to say about that?
I agree with that wholeheartedly. And the quickest way to arrest a word that someone has spoken over you or said in your presence is to say, not so.
Yes.
Not so, Lord. You said.
Yes.
You're disagreeing very quickly.
Yes. Right then and there, do it, because you do not want that to be floating in the atmosphere. Speak to it, murder it right there, just slice it, cut that right there. Like you use your sword, that's what you do, because that's what the Bible says it is. And so then it says, so whatever we say must be in obedience in the will of God. That is why when we read the word of God, but we be sure to pay attention to the ifs and the buts. I'm going back to that, so that we can be in full obedience when it comes,
to what we're doing. You know, all of that work, all of it stirs in there together. It all works together. And then it says, because I just thought about this particular scripture, and I threw this in here on the end, and I'm getting ready to be finished here in just a minute, and then we'll pick back up next week with continuing speaking God's language is about, or, you know, I think my other topic next week is words have control, can have control of your life. So we're going to talk about that before we get to that tongue. But anyway, Matthew 7:7 says, I'm reading out of the Amplified Classic Bible, keep on asking and it will be given you. Keep on seeking and it will find. Keep on knocking reverently and the door will be open to you. For everyone who keeps on asking receives, and he who keeps on seeking finds, and to him who keeps on knocking the door will be open. But what happens when we do not get what we ask for? James 4:3 answers the question. You do ask God for them and yet fail to receive because you ask with wrong purpose and evil, selfish motives. Your intention is when you get what you desire to spend it in a sensual pleasure. And that's the Amplified Classic. I don't have the King James Version right before me. But anyway, but we have to take the time, so we got to be careful when we ask for. And the reason why I read that verse behind the other verse is because sometimes we wonder, well, Lord, why didn't I get it? I asked for. You said, asking it shall be given. Are you asking in the will of God? Now, you need a roof over your head. So if you ask for that, that's in the will of God because you need it. He said he would supply all our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So we have to understand some of these things. He's not going to ask any, you can't ask him no evil thing and think God's going to perform it. That's not what he's going to do. Anybody have any comments about that?
You are so right about that. The Lord's will is that we prosper and be in health even as our souls prosper. So he's looking after those two things. Anything that's going to correct you, get you, not disturb you, but get you in line and get you in purpose and get you in a right position, he'll okay. So your heart has got to be right. Amen?
Amen. Amen. And just like your doctor, when our soul is our soul prospers when we are learning the word of God and walking in obedience and doing the will of God. That is our soul prospering. That's what that's meant by that. That's what's meant by it. It's not, it don't mean you're getting rich or prosperity. It says, be, beloved, I wish above all that you prosper, be in health, even as your soul prospers. But he said he wants our soul to prosper. So then if we really begin to dissect that, that's a whole other topic. We'll probably talk about that on another lesson. But I hope that everyone that's listening today has got something out of this about even strengthening yourself about watching what you say and being mindful of the power of your words and that their creative ability and how powerful God made the word because and that we are the only speaking. I know somebody said, well, parents might say a word too, but they don't speak. They just repeating what somebody say, but they can't come with something. You know, they don't think, they don't create, they don't do anything. But anyway, but we have to remember that the word of God, how powerful it is and how powerful the words we speak out of our mouth are and that we have to be careful and watch what we say because we sometimes, like Elder Timberlake said, we are snared by the words of our confession. And so we have to be careful that we are not snaring ourselves and causing ourselves not to prosper, not to move forward in life because of what we are doing, what we're saying, and then what we're doing with disobedience. So make sure that these are things you begin to continue to study and things like that. And if you want some of these scriptures, if you didn't get them as we were teaching, you can go back and listen to the lesson. But if you want to or want me to email them to you or something like that, I'm at DeniseBrysonMinistries@gmail.com, and I can email the scriptures to you so you can have something to read. But I do have some meditation. I want you to meditate on what God says and these promises from scriptures and find lasting hope amid the world that can feel hopeless. So we just got so much going into the world, going on today, and everything's kind of chaotic and crazy. And so I just want to give you these scriptures, and then I'm going to ask Elder Dodson to do our invitation to Christ, and then I'm going to ask if Elder Timberlake will do our closing prayer. And then, so I just want to give these scriptures. I'm not going to read the scriptures, but I'll give you the scriptures so you can go and read it for yourself and kind of meditation. These are about hope, and so we don't want to be hopeless because we ought to understand we're not hopeless. I mean, we're still living and breathing. We have hope, and so we have to remember what God said. But Jeremiah 29:11 is one, and I am going to read that. It says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil." King James says, "Plans to prosper you and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." And then 1 Peter 1:3-4 is a good scripture to kind of meditate on. If you're feeling like, you know, where my hope is, you know, just like that you need some hope, you know, that things are going to get better and that things are going to do that. 1 Peter 1:3-4, Philippians 3:20, Zephaniah 3:17, Romans 15:13, Isaiah 40:31, and Psalms 39:7. And then Titus 2:3, there's quite a few scriptures, but anyway, I'll keep giving them. Romans 12:12, 2 Corinthians 4:17-18, Romans 8:18, Revelation 22:12, Romans 15:4, and then Revelation 21:4, and then this is another one of my favorite scriptures. But anyway, Lamentations 3:21-23. And so, and if, like I said, if you want those scriptures just so you can kind of meditate on them, I can send them to you in an email if you want me to, DeniseBrysonMinistries@gmail.com. If you send me something, I'll send you those emails. I'll send you an email with those attachments. Anyway, we're going to have Elder Dodson's going to do our invitation to Christ, and then Elder Timberlake's going to pray us out, and we will be back here next week on the Prospering Souls Ministry, continuing this same thought pattern about the power of our word. Elder Dodson?
Father, we thank you for the word that was spoken. We pray that those that do not know you, those that want to know more about you, those who are on the outside looking in, or those that are on the outside of the ark of safety, Lord, we pray that the spirit of salvation will enter into their hearts and their minds and their soul, and have them saying, "What must I do to be saved?" We pray, dear Lord, that they will come to you, and they will give you their heart and their mind and their soul and become one of your children in Jesus' holy name. And we pray that when your change comes about, that you will get yourself to a Bible-believing church and one that will strengthen you and keep you and teach you in the ways of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Father God, we thank you for what our ears have heard. We thank you for the dialogue. We thank you, Lord, as we increase our knowledge and enlighten our relationship with you. God, I ask you to continue to bless Elder Bryson, that you would even give her a more revelatory word, that she will be able to bring forth whatever you provided for her, and then let us, God, eat and chew off of your word and let us apply it. God, guide our lips, guide our tongue, and let us know, God, going forth, that we are mindful of what you have said about us, so we want to speak what you say. And God, to prevent us from saying words that does not apply, that are not lined up with your word or your promise for our lives. So God, we thank you for this opportunity just to study your word even the more. We love you today. God, bless us on this week. Let God, whatever you have for us, God, open every door that needs to be opened and close those that need to be closed in the name of Jesus. We thank you for victorious week as we walk in the newness of life and our mouths are speaking words of power and life, because we have learned today that life and death
is in the power of the tongue. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank God.
Thank God. We'll see you back here next week on the Prospering Souls broadcast. God bless you all.
Good night.
Be blessed. Amen.
Good night.